to episode 5 of Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. With me here is Candace Jones. Hi, Candace.
Hey, Duncan.
Another busy week.
As always. I think we can stop saying that because it's always going to be busy.
Well, maybe not in December when everyone goes on holiday, but I suspect we're going to be quite hectic until then. So this week we're giving away a netbook, the Linkbook from Vodacom.
Mm-hmm. It looks like a nifty little machine, but listeners will have to wait until a bit later in the show to find out how to get it.
Absolutely. Stay listen to that. In fact, there's some new details about pricing on that product from Vodacom, which are quite interesting and it could have an impact on the market. But we'll give you the details of how to win that product a bit later in the show, so stay tuned for that. The big news, Candace, this week was Cell C.
Absolutely. They have now gone on a big rebranding mission, which really has changed the face of the company, bringing it into a new business, I think.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, they've changed. It's a radical change. They've actually been quite brave. They're doing a lot of big changes all at once. They've completely changed their brand. Gone is the sort of red dotted C and replaced with a much bolder black Cell C logo with a C that kind of resembles a copyright image, I think. And I think a few people have perhaps criticized them for that. I don't know, the branding has really been growing on me in the last couple of days. I don't know what you think.
I think it's extremely bold, and I think that the similarity to the copyright symbol was deliberate. I also think that people will stop seeing the copyright symbol and start seeing Cell C as things go along. But what I really appreciate is the South African flag color stripe underneath the symbol, which I think is fantastic.
Of course, as Lars Rafeld, the CEO of Cell C, pointed out during the presentation, if you look closely at the C and, in fact, turn it on its side, you'll see vaguely the shape of someone's head representing a Cell C customer.
I think that's a bit of a stretch, to be honest.
It is, I think, a bit of a stretch as well. But I think it's a good looking brand, and I think it's going to be much easier to recognize on billboards and out in the marketplace than the current brand.
But not just the brand, the entire feel behind the company and the vision and the mission statement behind the business now is also changing, and bringing the customer on board to help change the business, which I think is also a very brave, bold move.
I mean, Lars is really, really turning this company on its head, isn't he? I mean, Cell C's always had this perception in the market of being a bit of a laggard behind MTN and Vodacom, the two big dominant players in the market. They didn't have a 3G network, for example. They were seen as much more of a prepaid player, going for the low end of the market and not really playing in the contract and the data markets. And Lars has really set out to change that completely. They're spending 5 billion rand rolling out South Africa's most advanced third generation mobile network in the form of an HSPA plus or high-speed packet access. It's an evolved high-speed packet access network capable of theoretical download speeds, I must emphasize, of up to 21 megabits per second, which will be while the other two operators are deploying HSPA plus technology, this will be the widest deployment of it at launch in the country.
Also, they're saving money on this rollout because the network will be rolled out at 900 megahertz.
Absolutely,
Which saves because it's a longer frequency. It saves on the number of base stations you have to roll out.
Yeah, my understanding is that the lower the frequency, the further it travels, and therefore you don't need to build as dense an infrastructure as MTN and Vodacom for 3G, because they've built their networks at 2,100 megahertz, whereas Cell C is building its at 900 megahertz. And the way it's done that is the technical term for it is refarming spectrum. So what they've done is they've refarmed 4.2 megahertz of their 900 megahertz spectrum for 3G services, and retained the remaining spectrum. So there's 11 megahertz in all in that 900 megahertz spectrum band for traditional 2G GSM services. I was actually wondering how they were going to manage this. So they're only refarming a portion of 900, so that consumers with 900 megahertz GSM handsets can continue to make calls on that band. But it's a very smart move by Lars Reichelt, and in fact, he made an interesting point while we were chatting over coffee after the presentation, that Cell C wouldn't have been able to do this if it had been given 900 megahertz spectrum when it was launched back in around 2000-2001, when it was launched, ICASA, or I think it was then called SATRA, the SA Telecommunications regulatory authority only gave its GSM spectrum in the 1800 megahertz band. So they didn't have access to GSM 900 for a long time. And in fact, only got it when the ITU introduced something called the GSM extended band, which basically freed up a bit of additional spectrum around 900 megahertz for more competition. So they didn't have a lot of customers actually using 900, which made it easier for them to reform some of that spectrum. And the suggestion is that perhaps MTN and Vodacom, because they've got so many customers on their network using 900, that they just can't do this.
Well, there's the suggestion that they can't do this, but they have other options. My best bet for them would be to wait for the digital dividend, which is when broadcasters let go of the spectrum they're using currently and go into new spectrum for digital TV, and that will then get farmed back to the mobile operators or to the operators to do broadband, wireless broadband.
Yeah, absolutely. And the digital dividend spectrum is in the 800 megahertz band, so it's even better than the 900 megahertz that Telstra is currently looking at. The problem is we don't know how long it's going to take for the policymakers and the regulators to get around to managing that digital migration process. And as listeners to this podcast and readers of Tech Central will know, there's been a huge bun fight in recent months over the digital terrestrial broadcasting standards that South Africa will use. And this has the potential to actually put off digital migration by several years and mitigate or put off the introduction of that or the migration of that spectrum for use by mobile operators.
But more than that, I think Cell C has a new face, a new life, and I think Lars Reichelt, the CEO, has breathed new life into the business, and that shows in the employees as well, who have some new vigor with it attacking the business, and I think it's fantastic.
I think it's great. I mean, this market. I mean, Vodacom and MTN always say that they compete head on in the space in the South African market, and there's very thorough and serious competition in the South African cellular market. But let's face it; it has been a duopoly effectively over the last 15 years. Cell C's been there and has, you know, I think under the previous CEO Jeffrey Hedberg has started to shake up things a little bit. But the fact is, MTN and Vodacom have led a fairly comfortable existence. I think with what Lars Reichelt is doing here, what Cell C's talking about, and if they can get this right, then I think we are going to see genuine competition in the mobile sector in South Africa, particularly in mobile broadband, which is a really, really important area given how our incumbent fixed line operator, Telkom, how poorly they've fared at bringing broadband to the masses in this country. So, you know, all power to Lars's elbow. Let's hope he gets this right, because if he does, it could have a big impact, not just on the service levels and the quality of the networks we're seeing out of the mobile operators, but also on the broader economy.
Well, he's already made a start. If you take a look at the deal that he signed this week with BlackBerry to bring three of BlackBerry's top devices onto the network, using BlackBerry business services and BlackBerry internet services for the consumer, I think that's already a good start for Cell C, which never had this access before.
Mm.
It really brings back just the small things, all the little things that Lars is doing to bring the company back into competitive space.
Mm-hmm. And there's also some interesting developments going around regarding a potential consortium that Cell C is involved in to roll out a high-speed national fiber network to connect up some of its base stations and provide some national backhaul. We're busy with that story, so look out on Tech Central for that. It could be up as soon as today or possibly on Tuesday. Candice, the other really exciting news for me this week from a consumer, just as a consumer of technology services, is the news that Nokia is going to be launching an un-DRM'd or DRM-free Nokia Music Store. DRM for people who aren't aware of the acronym or abbreviation refers to hooks or software hooks, really, that companies put into music and other digital content to prevent you from copying it onto other devices. It's really meant as a way of stopping piracy, but consumers have been really unhappy about it and saying that it infringes on their right to do with the property that they've bought, you know, what they want to do with it. And so Nokia's taken the big step now of introducing DRM-free digital downloads. And Candice, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be the first company to offer DRM-free music in South Africa.
In South Africa, yes, as far as I understand. The big deal, though, is that not only are they offering the music DRM-free, they're freely saying, share it with your friends.
Yes, I was amazed. In fact, in the press release, they said this will allow you to download music and share with your friends. And I spoke to a Nokia spokesperson about this, wondering if they'd put that in statement in their press release by error. And they said, no, under the license terms of the agreement, you are allowed to share the music with your friends. Let's see what the music industry really thinks about that. But it's an interesting statement from Nokia. I'm certainly going to use the service. I mean, I've traditionally, you know, ask friends who go into the States to buy me iTunes vouchers. I have a US iTunes store account, but it's a real kludge and a real inconvenience when you run out of iTunes credit to have to get more. You have to go you know, wait for someone to go over there or go into eBay and buy a card, and there was always a risk of fraud involved in that. So a local DRM-free music store is going to be absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely. More importantly, I think that it will start providing some excellent competition to alternative providers like iTunes, to possibly look at getting off DRM music and DRM music into market.
Yeah, I think that Apple already offers DRM-free music following Amazon's decision to introduce DRM-free music in the US. Perhaps what this will do is encourage companies like Apple to consider coming into markets like South Africa, where they haven't offered their music services before. One can always hope. The Nokia's products are fairly affordable. I mean, they're talking 10 rand per song or 100 rand per album to download, which is a bit cheaper than what you'd pay for a CD in a shop. So, I'd do it.
I'm happy to pay as long as the DRM is there.
Absolutely. The other good news, of course, is that you'll be able to use the store now on your Mac or even on a Linux machine, because the DRM previously used the Windows DRM schemes, which required you to access the store via your computer on Windows and on Internet Explorer. But in future, you'll be able to do it on other browsers and other platforms, which is a major improvement.
Definitely.
If I was Musica or one of those stores, I'd be a bit concerned about this development.
Luckily then, the new Easy Cable is coming in, so we'll be able to download a lot of that music across the vast distances.
Yeah, more undersea capacity coming. It doesn't stop. In fact, Easy was originally going to be a 340 gigabit per second system. They then upped it to 1.4 terabits per second, which is slightly larger than the competitor Seacom system, which runs along the same route along the east coast of Africa. And at a press conference this week, they announced that using new technology and I presume using new types of something called dense wave division multiplexing, which is basically a way of squeezing more bandwidth over light, they're going to be pushing this cable up to nearly 4 terabits a second, 3.84 terabits a second, which will certainly make it the largest cable system coming to Africa until WAX comes on stream on the west coast sometime next year. Of course, they're not lighting up all of that connectivity initially because it's expensive to light up connectivity. They're lighting up only 60 gigabits initially. But the interesting comment from Trevor Martins, who's the chairman of the Easy Management Committee, said that they've decided to increase the capacity because they're expecting an absolute surge in demand for broadband connectivity out of Africa between 2012 and 2014. Which is really exciting to see private businessmen taking these sort of bets on this sort of growth coming out of Africa, when we've already got these massive cables coming down the west coast in the next year or two, plus the Seacom cable on the east coast already. We literally are going to be awash in bandwidth. And as everyone keeps pointing out, the real challenge now is going to be getting this cheap connectivity into consumers' hands and developing those national backhaul networks and then developing the so-called last mile or local loop, so that we can get those bandwidth costs really down to a level where you know, the South Koreans are paying or where the US guys are paying.
With any luck, we'll see it in South Africa and not too far in the future.
Yeah, hopefully not too long. I think, Candice, it's probably a good time to go and pay the bills. We'll be back with you just after this.
Welcome aboard Voxair Teleconferencing, where you can enjoy first-class service at a fraction of the cost, without the wait or the jet lag. Just an automated, hassle-free way to connect with people wherever they are, and all the legroom you need. It's like being there without the hassle of getting there. So why travel for business when you can simply teleconference? Call 01-0001-0001 or visit voxair.co.za. Voxair Teleconferencing from Vox.
Right, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're giving away a notebook this week. Well, it's actually a netbook. It's a Linux-based netbook, which is sold by Vodacom. It's called the Linkbook. It's a really cool little machine running a locally developed operating system. It's got really a front graphical user front end onto a Linux-based operating system. Lovely little machine. Quite exciting news out of Vodacom this week. In fact, that they're going to be cutting the price of purchasing this machine on a monthly contract. When they introduced this computer a couple of months ago, they offered it for 199 rand a month for a fixed amount of bandwidth. I think it was the same 300 megs that they're going to be offering it now. But they've cut the price to just 99 rand a month. That includes 300 megabytes of bandwidth. So but basically, this I think Vodacom is basically subsidizing these machines to get them into the market, because I suspect that 99 rand a month is actually cheaper than the cost of a bolt-on, a 300 meg bundle on the Vodacom network. So in fact, I'm pretty sure it is. So we're looking at, because a 500 meg bundle, which I subscribe to, is 189 rand. So 300 meg, I think, is in the region of about 130, 140 rand. So we're actually looking at a serious discount to the existing rate just for the data. And they're throwing a notebook in on top of that. So it's getting interesting out there. This is a play by Vodacom to really start to get broadband in the hands of the masses of consumers out in South Africa, and I think we're going to see similar plays from the other operators in the next little while. So I'm no doubt that Cell C will be looking at opportunities like this to get the millions of consumers out there who don't have access to the internet at the moment onto their networks. So really, really, really quite exciting.
Intel's agreement with MTN has a similar play, but not in South Africa, but further out into Africa. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so we've got one of these machines to give away. So if you'd like to win it, all you need to do is send us an email at info@techcentral.co.za and tell us what processor the machine has in it. If you search on the Tech Central website for our review of the product, you will find the answer to that question. What processor does the Linkbook have in it? Email info@techcentral.co.za, and the first correct answer emailed to us will win the machine.
Please don't forget to send your postal details so that we can have it shipped to you.
Yeah, please include your postal address and your telephone number if you can. Thanks. Great. Candace, the other huge story this week, which we broke on Tech Central, was the news about Super 5 Media.
Indeed. More sad news around the pay TV market. It looks like Super 5 Media is completely ready to fold. You broke the story this week, Duncan, that the company has retrenched now every last one of their staff members.
Yeah, they had about 40 to 50 staff left, I believe, and they were all notified. I think it was on Monday this week that they were all retrenched, basically, that they would receive 1 month's salary for the month of July and no other payments. A lot of unhappiness for the guys who stuck it out. I mean, I think the writing had been on the wall for some time, but I think a lot of these guys were kind of hoping for the best and hanging on there. And unfortunately, about 40 to 50 people retrenched, including about 20 editorial staff, who are, I'm afraid, going to struggle to find jobs in the current environment, the current depressed media environment. So indeed, it is a very sad story indeed. The directors have all gone to ground. We can't get hold of Tiam Dupasani, one of the directors. In fact, he also seems to have left the company. His company cell phone goes unanswered. This was coming for a while, Candace. In fact, you started to break this story last week with news that they'd cut off the telephones and they'd asked the staff to go on a 3 months unpaid leave. Bit of a disaster, really, because this Super 5 Media, of course, was the old telecom media and was once considered the biggest potential competitor to the incumbent DSTV owned by MultiChoice.
There was a time, I think last year sometime, when I spoke to Telkom about Telkom Media and they were ready to fly, they were ready to get going. In fact, by November 2008, they had already started implementing technology and had hired people, were in discussions about content. And come the middle of last year, Telkom decided to reduce its investment in the business. There were discussions to liquidate, but then there was a last-minute lifeline through Shenzhen Media South Africa, which then bought the company from Telkom. There are still issues around the actual sale, and no one is sure whether or not Telkom is still liable, although Telkom says it's not. But as far as we understand, the minority shareholders never signed that shareholder agreement, that sale agreement to Shenzhen, which I'm still trying to ascertain whether they whether that makes Telkom liable or not.
Now, there's a company called an international company called Rothschild, which advised in this whole process, advised on the sale to by Telkom to Shenzhen Media SA. Now, they're claiming that they're owed an amount of 15 million rand plus interest of between 5 and 10 million rand. So we're looking at a figure of about 20 to 25 million rand. And there's a dispute about who owes that money. And our understanding is that Rothschild is, if they haven't done it already, they're about to bring an application for the liquidation of Super 5 Media if that amount of money is not paid to them. All indications are that money is not going to be paid, so it would appear that this company has reached the end of the line.
It looks that way. I can't. I haven't managed to get hold of any of the directors this week. There is no one around anymore. It doesn't look like it's going anywhere.
Bit of a disaster, really. And in fact, the Telkom annual report came out this week, which put some new detail on just the amount of money that the shareholders' money that Telkom management wasted on this project. This was obviously driven by the former CEO of Telkom, Poppy Molatsane, who was later axed from the company and then shut down by his successor, Ruben September, who has also since left Telkom. But they disclosed some numbers this week which showed that they'd effectively made a net loss through this investment of more than 400 million rand, which is a huge amount of money to pour down the drain. They wrote off a loan of something like 471 million rand and received a payment from Shenzhen Media SA of only 68 million rand, resulting in an effective net loss of over 400 million rand, which is a lot of money to cut and run.
There are rumours that that 68 million wasn't actually paid either and that it's still owed.
Well, that would certainly be an interesting development, yeah. But there is some good news, Candice. There is another player entering the market soon, WOW TV. Tell us a bit more about them.
Well, the company's full name is Walking on Water. It's a self-proclaimed, family-friendly, expected satellite service. It was licensed with the others a couple of years ago, and it was supposed to launch with a single channel. That has since changed with the co-founder and CFO explaining to us this week that the prevailing market conditions and the increased competition means that they actually have to put their best foot forward. So what they're doing now is basically looking for funding to make sure that the service that they do provide over the next couple of months is properly funded and comes through with proper content. And you know, it sounds exciting. I think for many it will be a niche service because you know, there is a religious slant and there is a slant towards family-friendly stuff, which, you know, doesn't include your Die Hard 4 and the like, violence and...
which, the sort of which, stuff we like.
which, you know, it's not for everybody, so it will be interesting to see what they actually come up with. They're expected to launch anywhere between 5 and 10 channels, with the smallest offering at 5 channels, 99 rand. For the 10 channels, 49 rand for the 5.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty aggressive pricing, but it obviously depends on the types of products that they're bringing. You know, and until we know exactly what's going to be on those channels, it'll be interesting to see.
It's going to be fascinating to watch because I've always got the impression that South Africans generally are a fairly conservative bunch, and that there may in fact be quite a big demand for this type of service. Channels without violence or sex or bad language. I don't know this for a fact, but I suspect that there are a lot of people unhappy out there about the level of violence and sexual content on television. And I think they may do very well.
Well, if you take a look at their backing, the company is primarily owned by Cornerstone, a big South African technology business, and Cornerstone is not about to go out and do something without some serious research and product research. And I think they were very confident of getting a very big viewership on board. And I think that you're right, that there is a very conservative space in South Africa. And I think it's the majority and not the minority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cornerstone, of course, is run by Hamilton Rocha-Fowler, who's very well known in the IT industry and I think one of the most respected businessmen in the IT sector. So you're quite right, he's not going to back horses. That's not going to go anywhere. Mm. Candice, the other story you had this week was regarding our friend Paris Mashida, the former colourful chairman of ICASA. You had lunch with him?
I did indeed. I had lunch with him this week. We were chatting about his new position. He has been appointed to two positions in a company called Vunani. The first is he's CEO of Vunani Telecommunications Services, and he will be chairman of the holding company of that, which is Vunani Technology Ventures. Technology Ventures was created not too long ago when Vunani bought out the Jala Group, which is an IT investment business. And they've merged to create Vunani Technology Ventures.
Great.
Some exciting stuff that he's talking about, but we can't talk about them just yet.
Keep an eye on Tech Central for that. Good. Let's wrap it up there, Candice. I think that's a good summary of the week's news. Thanks again for listening to Talk Central. If you've got feedback, you're always welcome to mail us, info@techcentral.co.za. Thanks for listening, and from myself and Candice, have a great week. Bye-bye.